Paddy Power are streaming all UK and Irish racing on our app. No bet required. Just log in and watch. Terms and conditions apply. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org.
Hi there and welcome along to this Monday postcast. It is the 2nd of November. And well, we're all a bit down in the dumps because it's been announced that there's going to be a second lockdown. But something to cheer you up, we have an excellent week, in fact, of racing to look back on. Some of the real stars of the game returning and putting in some excellent performances. Today's guests are Andrew Dietz, who was on the ground at Wetherby and indeed Carlisle over the weekend, James Norris, and Paul Binfield, as usual, to take us through the prices for the upcoming races, including the Paddy Power Gold Cup. Could we see recent winner Imperial Aura run there under a big weight? But first, let's talk about surnamed Charlie Hall win. I mean, he silenced the doubters well and truly here with this serene performance. Dietzy, I mean, you were at Wetherby. What did you sense in the run-up to the race? Because it seems like Paul Nicholls was really, really confident. Did you get that inclination? Because the horse was such a drifter. Everyone was keen to take him. It didn't play out that way.
Yeah, it certainly sort of proved to be a case of what was all the fuss about. There might have been doubts over surname before the race, but there certainly weren't any during it. And how often do we see this happen? A compelling case can be made against the best horse in the race and then they go and win like that. But fair play to Paul Nicholls. He went up to Wetherby to see if he could open up a few more options to surname for the season. And I think he got the answers he wanted. And it was interesting afterwards. He was really revved up about it. I think he took great satisfaction in proving the doubters wrong. And you'd love to see that passion in like a top trainer. So, yeah, he was a very happy man. And I think he obviously was right to be so.
Yeah, he can get very animated, can't he, afterwards? And as you say, that passion's what makes the racing game so great. So I really enjoyed the performance. I thought it was a fabulous ride from Harry Cobden. On the ratings, James, how did you analyse it? Was it a strong Charlie Hall performance? It certainly looked like it from the eye.
Well, yes, surnames come out with the rating of 173 on Racing Post rating, which is the highest of the last 10 years. Next best was Bristol Domain. He had 172. And it's just so impressive, wasn't it? He was so enthusiastic the whole way around. If you think Vindication's run out of his skin, but it was all sort of really hard work to get there, whereas Harry Cobden was just motionless and let Surname really do the talking, jumping brilliantly the whole way, arrow straight. There are just no concerns about trip or track or orientation. He's really exciting. And I'm so pleased that he's come out like this again after how last season played out, because that race against Altior seemed to take it out of both of them. And it seemed to sort of rule out Altior from ever trying any further than 2 miles ever again, which I think is a shame. And obviously he came out in February and really disappointed after disappointing in the King George to an extent. And I was slightly worried he'd be bottomed by that effort, but it's really great to see him right back in full flow.
Yeah, I was going to say, he had that awful fall surname as well, didn't he, when we were all relieved that he got up at Ascot. So it was great to see him do it somewhere else, not around that Berkshire track. King George, the next port of call, Binners, do you think, would you have any concerns about seeing him again over 3 miles after that?
None whatsoever, Maddie. Good afternoon to you and the other folks. No, none whatsoever. We've dramatically cut him for that race. He's now 7-2 joint favourite along with Clandis Obo. And I'd have more of a reservation about him getting the Gold Cup trip, Maddie. But nevertheless, we made him 20-1 for that after his Wetherby route. And he's into 14 now. So, but just quickly, I've known Andrew Dietz a long time. Lots of football people listen to this as well. I know he's a Bury man. I saw a documentary the other day about Bury FC and AFC Bury. I'm just interested to know if he's going along to AFC Bury at all.
Not yet, Binners. I think we'll need a whole separate postcast to talk this one through. it's still a bit of a touchy subject. Losing your football team, wouldn't wish it on your worst enemy. But the fans have set up a new team, and hopefully I'll get down there, once everyone's allowed back.
Did you see the documentary?
I did, yeah. I thought it was very good.
It's very good, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, very interesting. And it's obviously a big issue down in the lower divisions. So I suppose it shows that there is a blueprint there for fans to get together and try and create something positive out of a big negative.
I think that's what we're all trying to do at the minute, isn't it? Try and create something positive out of the negative. Just going back to Surname, Paul Nicholls interestingly mentioned that you need a very good cruising speed to run in a race like the Gold Cup, and horses that aren't as good tend to be flat out, whereas horses with Surname's class can almost cruise into it before powering away up the hill. Would you have any concerns about him over that extended trip, James? I mean, Binners has said he might have.
I would in a sort of normal Gold Cup, but if you think about last year, how when sort of Nace River didn't run in the end, and obviously I think Frodo went to the Ryanair, it wasn't much of a pace. And if you had a similar scenario this year, you could see him really cruising around and eking out the last reserves. But if you get a proper test with a sort of pace battle up front, maybe the likes of if Alejo decided to go up that if they decided to go that way with Alejo or Frodon, you know, really powered on from the front and he really turned it into a proper test, you know, you'd have your doubts. But it really just, I think, depends how the race unfolds and how the field shapes up on the day.
Yeah, the other big chase, of course, was Dan Royal's champion chase over the 3 miles. And it was won by the Storyteller, who was race fit. He beat Chris's Dream into second. Now, interestingly, a lot of people were talking about this result as if the form could be reversed going forward. But Gordon Elliott came out yesterday and said he wouldn't be surprised if the horses finished in the same order afterwards. Who was your horse to take out of the race, DC?
I think it would have to be Chris's Dream, wouldn't it? He ran a cracking race first time up, and he did look the winner just before being run out of it by a race fit rival. But fair play to Gordon Elliott to get another grade one into the Storyteller. It's a great achievement. I know the horse was sort of clearly laid out for this, but it's just another example of great placement by the trainer.
It is. He had a super weekend, didn't he?
He did, yeah. I think it was one of just the 8 victories over the 2 days at Down Royal. I know he sent a really strong team there and some of his best horses, but it was still a great achievement. And in the same race, the presenting Percy and Delta Work, I think they were 4th and 5th respectively, they both put in solid enough comebacks without really setting off any fireworks. You know, both of those going towards Christmas, there'd be something to build on there for them.
Indeed. Quite a few people wanting to keep presenting Percy on side for the Grand National Binners. What price can those people get about him now?
Yeah, Maddie, let me just tell you about the Storyteller's prices as the first of all, and then
certainly,
I'll get the Grand National. Yeah, the Storyteller, we make him 16-1 for the Ryanair first show, so that looks fair enough. Whether any of these will be main players in the Gold Cup at the moment, the market says not. We put the Storyteller into that one at 40-1, and the same price as Chris's Dream, who, as Andrew said, it was a nice, pleasing debut. And if you could come back to me for the Grand National, I'll have a price in a minute, Maddie.
Superb, no problem, I will do. James, what do you think? We've already mentioned Delta Work. He was well beaten in the race last year. He seemed to need it again. Would you be taking him off your Gold Cup radar?
Not because of that race. It was very similar to last year, wasn't it? I think you can put a line through it and just judge him more on his next run. I think I'd be more worried about his effort last season. It's just his jumping can be sticky and it seemed to let him down on the Gold Cup. And that would put me off slightly for this year. But, you know, I think we can judge him again probably at Christmas. I like presenting Percy's run. Like, he was ridden more forward than I expected, especially with the booking of Dennis O'Regan. And he just looked like he blew up to me. But if Gordon Elliott was definitely training for the Gold Cup, you'd think, well, I'd think he might, you know, get there with the chance of being in the vicinity. But the way he's talking, he's really gagging to go for the Grand National as well. So I can see him really bringing him along slowly to peak him for that day at Aintree. Which might just rule out the Gold Cup being the main target. But I think it's a very promising run from him.
Yeah, I think that's likely where he's going to go. But as obviously Gordon Elliott, he trains Tiger Roll, who's won the last two. But what price can we get about presenting Percy? Have you fished it out for us?
I have, yes, Maddie, 33-1. And yeah, and same price for the Gold Cup, which James just mentioned. I thought it was a nice comeback run from him. First start for Gordon Elliott, and he looked enthusiastic for much of the way. Mr. Reynolds will be delighted with that. I wouldn't be surprised. It'd be interesting to see where he shows up next. And yeah, strong hand for Gordon Elliott in the National Tiger role. Currently 12-1 favourite, and it's 20-1 basket. So still very open at the minute.
We spoke about Tales of Redemption with Surname, but there's also an element of that with Roxana, who won the big hurdle race up at Wetherby, because she won that mare's hurdle a couple of years ago, but only after Benny Dedra fell. And I feel like Dan Skelton also was feeling those same sort of vibes when she was victorious, and they could well go for the long walk next. Good to see them aiming so high with this mare, and she absolutely powered away from them, didn't she, Deetsy? Were you expecting a performance like that?
I think I was taken aback by her a little bit. I think she's obviously been a brilliant mare for the Skeletons, and she was responsible for their first grade ones when she won the mare's hurdle. And she has been a little bit unlucky not to win more big races, but she was lightning quick over her hurdles on Saturday, and she really powered clear. And I think it was the first time she was winning over 3 miles, and there was no problems with the trip at all. And yeah, looking to the rest of the season, she could be a player in what could be a weak-looking stays hurdle division. I know she's not going to go for the long-distance hurdle. Dan Skelton's sort of keen for the maybe some of the horses that finished in behind to go and take on Paisley Park there, and he's happy to go for the long walk. And I think he sort of mentioned last season she sort of struggled a little bit with a grade one penalty, and this season she's come back as well as ever. She's gonna go for these big races. She'll have that mare's allowance, and I think she'll win more races.
When you've got a good mare, that £7 mare's allowance is generous, isn't it? But that's the whole point, I suppose. It's the incentive to get more of them in open company. And maybe in a couple of years, we'll see it decreased if the current trend of talented mares continues. Of those in behind, Next Destination, he posted a promising performance after a massive absence. And I also thought Kildasart, he ran a really good race in third. Obviously, the Ladbrokes Trophy will be next for him. What did you make of those in behind? Listener Garosco, I mean, I don't think he ran too badly either.
No, he didn't. I think you're right in saying that the big eye catcher was Next Destination. First start since April 2018, and on his debut for Paul Nichols, he travelled there well, just blew up a little bit, which is totally understandable. I think he's going to go novice chasing now, Nichols was saying afterwards, and he's definitely one to look out for, given all his back class when trained by Willie Mullins.
Yeah, he beat Delta Work, didn't he? So all this form intertwines, would you believe it? Talking of Delta Work, let's go back to Down Royal then and battle over Doyen. He posted a really, really supreme performance there. Sam Crowe, he was back in third. It wasn't to be for the Marsh winner on this occasion. But this horse has always been highly thought of, and it seems they've finally found the key to him, which is the trip, James.
Yeah, I mean, he looks like a great big, robust staying chaser, and they kept trying to turn him into one, but as you say, he's probably just needs shy of 3 miles to be at his best. I think here it was, I really do think Sam Crowe would have won had he not made that mistake though. So I think it was three out. They were all traveling well, and he just landed in it. And that was the moment Battle of Doyen sort of kicked on, and suddenly he was almost alongside, and then he was about 6 lengths behind him. And he had to make that move then quicker, probably earlier than Jack Kennedy would have liked to get on his tail again, and he probably a little bit blew up. And I thought Sam Crowe wasn't quite as sort of, he was jumping a little bit low, quite economical, and I suspect he was just undercooked for that race. And yeah, I think the target is for both Sam Crowe and Battle of Doyen to go to John Durkin next, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if Sam Crowe reversed that form, actually.
Okay, that could be a key clash throughout the season, couldn't it, with those two? But it was a wonderful jumping performance from the winner. Sam Crowe, maybe he just needs the springtime. Gordon Elliott saying maybe he needs the sun on his back. That's interesting. But you think he could reverse the form in that John Durkin? Let's take a quick pause now, but don't go anywhere, because we're going to be talking about one of the most exciting horses in training just after this.
I'm Jose Mourinho. I know a thing or two about being special. Being on the front cover of Rolling Stone magazine Special. Winning the daily jackpot on Paddy Power games? Not special.
Understood, Jose. Yes, someone wins an average £40,000 jackpot every single day. So if you win, don't think you're special. Daily jackpots by Paddy Power Games. Jackpots must be awarded by 11 p.m. and vary from day to day. Jackpot is shared with other operators. Available on selected games. T's and C's at paddypower.com. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back, and that horse is Envoy Alen, and he made it 9 from 9 on Friday, making a flawless chasing debut. This was just a spectacular performance. It really was faultless. And how high could he fly? I mean, he's yet to be beaten. Where do you rank him among the best horses around at the moment, James?
Well, I mean, he's as exciting as... Well, he's more exciting than anything else, isn't he? He's just got absolutely everything. He's an amazingly good-looking horse. He's so clever with his feet. I remember over hurdles, he was incredibly slick. And then again, it was essentially like watching a schooling session, but, he's, when he was travelling within himself, he was just neat and nimble and knew exactly where to place himself. He was very clever. And then as soon as Jack Kennedy asked him to the last, he just took off. He's just got so much scope, and you just think he could beat anything at this stage. You know, when he gets a proper pace to run at that he doesn't have to make himself, he could just be so, so exciting.
Indeed. I must admit, I was almost a tiny bit underwhelmed by his Ballymore win last year because he was under pressure from a really long way out. But this performance, to me, just suggested that he's going to be even better over fences. I mean, what sort of rating are we looking at, do you think?
Well, I mean, he only got 1.46 in RPR there, but obviously he had little to beat. I mean, he could, you know, go so, so high. It just depends how it all works out. He got into the 160s as a novice hurdler, so I'm sure he'll be into that range over fences anytime now. And the sky's the limit, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And trip-wise, he seems so versatile, and his ability just gets him through. But what do you think is going to be his optimum trip this season?
Well, I think something's going to have to go wrong for him to try any further than 2.5, I suspect. He's just so classy and so he's got a lot of pace. I can't see the RSA being a target, as I say, unless something goes wrong and he suddenly looks a bit underwhelming and they have to go up in trip, but I just don't see that happening. I just suspect he's going to carry all before him this season before, you know, going for the big guns next season.
Indeed. How did the bookies react, Binners?
Well, very, very impressed, Maddie. We were already 5-2 favourite for him for the Martian Novices Chase. We've gone 9-4 favourite now. As James said, he didn't have a lot to beat at the weekend, but he did it so well. Jack Kennedy giving him 10 out of 10. He was so impressive. Mick Fitzgerald has been raving about Shishkin schooling well over fences at Nicky Henderson's, but he's going to need to be good to beat this lad.
Yeah, I think for him, the plan I read in Henderson's to check that out if you haven't already. But speaking of Envoy Alen and those top horses, what about Cheveley Park? I mean, they announced this last week that they were cutting down on their flat string by 20%, but nothing about their jumpers. And no wonder, you know, they have the juvenile hurdle winner, Bally Adam, and the bumper winner, Lord Gerhard, at Down Royal. And they just have a formidable team, don't they? What was your favourite performance out of those I've just mentioned, James?
That's a good question. Sir Gerhardt was really, really taking. We don't know how strong that bumper was. But, he just absolutely bolted up. And Bally Adam, he just reminded me of Envoy Alen last year. I think he won the same race. But it just shows how good Envoy Alen was because he bolted up. But, you know, jumping was absolutely flawless, whereas Bally Adam was occasionally a bit slow, guessed at a couple, but you just think there's a lot of potential in there, and Quilixios jumped like a chaser. So he's the sort of horse that you can imagine Paul Nicholls training, saying he's not really a triumph hurdle horse and then running him anyway. I think Gordon Elliott will probably do something similar. But they're all so exciting, and you can understand what Cheveley Park are doing because it's such a painstaking process breeding all these nice flat horses. So much can go wrong. Or you can just spend your cash on jumping machines that are ready-made and you get all the success.
I suppose, and they get all that success, but from an economic point of view, it makes little sense when at least on the flat they're getting the money from their stallions. You know, I think even Pivotal, he's had a great year, hasn't he, the old boy? But here in the jumps world, I mean, maybe Envoy Alen could recoup what he cost, but they're spending an awful lot of money on these horses. I mean, they haven't bought a bad horse, have they?
No, it's unbelievable. It's just, every time you see the colours appear on a race course over jumps now, you're just excited about what you might find. And, you know, I mean, I guess winning at Cheltenham is essentially the be-all and end-all. People say it's not, but maybe it is.
It seems the way that the market is going and the way that the industry as a whole is, isn't it? Everything's always geared towards the festival. One horse who we could see at the Cheltenham Festival is Kid Commando, and he was a really commanding winner of the handicap hurdle up at Ascot, a well-supported favourite on an excellent day for trainer Anthony Honeyball. What were your thoughts on Kid Commando? I thought he did what he needed to do off a good handicap mark, DT.
He did, yeah. I think it's right to sort of point out that it was three winners on the card for Anthony Honeyball. It's a fine feat saddling a treble anywhere, but to do it at a major track like Ascot on a high-quality Saturday makes it even better. And the trainer was that it was his best day since starting up. But Kid Commando, yeah, he was very impressive, wasn't he? He sort of piled on the pressure from the front on his handicap debut. He was given a great ride by Aidan Coleman, and he does look open to plenty more progress, and he could develop into a 2 mile sort of handicap hurdle down south. One of the bigger races potentially could come next.
Yeah, I'm just tapping away here to see if what the quotes were, because you think he'd be almost a Betfair hurdle horse, wouldn't you? I'd love to see him in a race like that. Binners, did you introduce him into any of your markets or not?
No, we didn't really, Maddie. We weren't quite sure where he was going to go. I'm a little bit surprised that the way he was backed and the way he performed that Anthony hadn't entered him in the Greatwood Hurdle, to be honest with you. But he's not in that. As you say, he looks a fine candidate for something like the Betfair Hurdle. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see how he progresses as the season goes along.
It seems the trainer thinks he could go up to 2.5, but very soft ground will be sticking to 2, which makes plenty of sense to me. What about Regal Encore then? He's really reliable, isn't he? And he just loves Ascot. I think Richie McLernan's been riding out of his skin so far this season. And this horse stayed on well to win the big race there. James, what do you think of those in behind? What do you think of the winner? How strong a race was it?
I think the key horse probably was Watmore in second. Regal Encore looks like he's turning into an Ascot specialist. You know, when he turns up there, you've got to take him very seriously, but he just doesn't quite have the same record elsewhere. Whereas Watmore, despite jumping out to his left and sort of hanging left occasionally, he was always really travelling strongly. And he came there looking like he was going to go away and win, just outstayed by the tough old boy in front. I'm surprised he's only won once over fences, Watmore. And I'm sure that's going to change soon. Yeah,
I'm really not convinced by his attitude. I mean, he's been in my tracker for a long, long time. But as you say, you could see him hanging with the bit through his mouth around Ascot. And although he ran a massive race, I'm not sure if he just has the attitude for it when it comes to the crunch. Is that fair?
That could well be fair, yeah. But I mean, at the same time, that, you know, you could see him stepping forward for this. And, you know, he's got a chance to go up still. I mean, obviously, he's an 8-year-old, so he's not particularly young, but this is the second season of offences, and I can just see him improving when you look back at, you know, his run at Cheltenham, fourth to Imperial Aura. He ran well at Warwick last season. He's got more wins in there, and I think they'll come probably left-handed.
Yeah, that could be true. I think Watmore, he just needs a race to fall in his lap, doesn't he? A strong pace and then be delivered late, so you can understand why he's ridden the way he is. Let's talk about one of the most, if it's not Envoy Allenman, it's certainly going to be this horse, one of the most other exciting horses in training, and that's Imperial Aura. He put up a spectacular performance in that Colin Parker Memorial at Carlisle yesterday. DC, you were there. It was quite a neat little race, but it's also a race that's produced some real stars in recent years. Do you remember the performance Lost in Translation put in it last year? Do you think they were expecting this from Imperial Aura? Obviously, Cheltenham Festival winner when we last saw him, and this was a really great step up.
It certainly was. It was fairly reminiscent of Lost in Translation last year. It was foot perfect. He travelled strongly throughout the race, and He's a horse I've been a big fan of for a while now. And it was a really encouraging start to the season. He probably deserves to go for a top race like the Betfair Chase now, but you can understand why Connections afterwards were saying they might look at the Paddy Power Gold Cup. I know it's a fairly quick turnaround and he'd have to carry a big weight, but we know he goes so well around Cheltenham. And I think I would fancy his chances of outclassing them all, even under his big weight. A horse called Little Josh, he did the same double, the Colin Parker Paddy Power double a few years back, so it can be done. And at this point, I've just got to say thank you to Paul Binfield for his speedy text message after the race. You can get from the press room to the parade ring in a matter of strides at Carlisle, and I hadn't even got there, and my phone buzzed, and there was a quote for Imperial Aura's new price for the Paddy Power. It was,
he's very
there's
quick.
There's a check in the post, Andrew.
I was hoping go on, for that, yeah.
Go through that market then, Binners. I'm not going to call it by the wrong name today. Surely not after last week. The Paddy Power Gold Cup then. Imperial Aura at the top. Who else is there?
Maddie, you're forgiven. Yeah, when we first did put the market up, Imperial Aura was at the head of the market. We made him favourite, but then St Sonnet put up a nice performance for Paul Nichols and usurped him at the front end. But however, after yesterday's performance at Carlisle, and I'm quite jealous of Andrew going to. I love that Colin Parker Memorial Novice Chase every year. It's always very good. Head of the market, St Sonnet and Imperial Aura. We can't split them at 6-1 now. 7 Simply the Bet, 8 Granatine, 11-1 Sapage, 14 Bar. But just one quick point, Maddie. It's brilliant to see Kim Bailey, you know, having all these lovely chases. Vindication put up a lovely performance behind Surname. Imperial Aura almost looks the one to beat in the Paddy Power. So, and it's great to see Kim Bailey back, you know, back in the limelight.
You must be reading my mind. I've just written a column for the Weekender on Kim Bailey. So shameless plug for my own work there. DC, I just wanted to go back to you and ask you, because obviously a lot of people are missing the racecourse at the moment, and even owners, it seems, aren't going to be allowed with this lockdown coming. What's it like to be on a racecourse when you see performances like Surname and Imperial Aura? Because it must be almost a bit strange, because you've got these big characters of the game, really exciting performances, but no crowds.
It's very surreal, Maddie. It really is. It's really hammered home what the sort of race goers and the crowds bring to the day. Afterwards, you know, you'd have the horses coming back into the winner's enclosure, people cheering. There's a very vocal crowd and knowledgeable crowd up at Wetherby and the same at Carlisle. They might not have the sort of the same numbers at a Carlisle on a Sunday as they would do Wetherby on a Saturday, but it is sort of one of the bigger days up there, and there would have been a lot of people. And it is strange. It's still sort of really missing, and you just want to get the people back as quickly as possible.
Do you think it influences the horses at all? Do you think the crowd, I mean, horse like Surname, he's known for being quite buzzy and you know, wanting to get on with it. Do you think it helps, or do you think that when people make too much of a bigger deal out of that?
I think it's got to be a factor with some horses, as you mentioned, Surname. I think that it's probably an advantage for horses like him, and as we've seen in the summer with sort of Batash on the flat, it just sort of takes a potential problem out of the way.
Yeah. Whereas others, I think they probably get a bit sort of G'd up by the atmosphere, and it probably helps just kick in that adrenaline. It's fascinating, really, isn't it? Any other horses to note, James? What about you? Have you got any for the tracker, or just any performances in behind, perhaps some of the winners that you want to talk about?
Well, in behind Imperial Aura, I thought it was quite an interesting performance from Brewing Up a Storm. I mean, in the end, he's finished last, and eight lengths off fifth, but he travelled really well. I'm not convinced he's a racer. He's not particularly big, and he can be a bit sticky. So I'll be interested to see how he plays it. But he's clearly still got a lot of class in there, the way he moved through the race.
He's a bit cumbersome, isn't he?
Yeah. He's got good races in there. I'm not sure what they are, but I think you've got to keep him on board in case people start to forget just how good he is.
Yeah, one thing he's got ability.
Yeah, one I thought it's worth mentioning from Friday at Weatherby was Shan Blue, who won the novice chase. Jumping was absolutely immaculate for the second time in a row. And what I really liked was how Harry Skelton on board seemed to just have was full of confidence in him. He knew that whatever happened, he could just fire him into the fence and he'd come out the other side running. And while he wasn't quite at the top level over hurdles, he was sort of outclassed by the likes of Envoy Allen and Shishkin. It looks like he's really improved for a fence and he's quite an exciting prospect.
I love that. It was fantastic, wasn't it? I honestly can't remember the last time I saw a horse jump with the confidence. As you say, Harry Skelton fired him into the last. And I don't even think it was that bad a run in the Ballymore last year either. So, yes, fantastic. Thanks for bringing him up, because we certainly wouldn't want to forget about Shan Blue. Where do you see his future now? Do you think they might, you know, run him in another of those novice chases up north?
Possibly. I mean, you could see him maybe going to the Ladbrokes Trophy meeting. And I imagine the Feltham's got to be on their mind, because, you know, a quick flat track like that, you could suit him really well. You know, he might just catch out something more sort of Cheltenham ready. It's, you know, bigger, more old-fashioned chaser with a little bit less pace. He might catch them out there.
Yeah.
Just to put in there, the Feltham has been sort of mentioned. I think it was on the Saturday, I was speaking to Dan, and that looks an obvious target, sort of building up to Christmas time. So it'd be great to see him there, wouldn't it? Over the fences at Kempton, it could be quite spectacular.
Yeah, what did you think, Deetsy?
Yeah, I was very impressed with him. I think he was a fair novice hurdler, and I think he's going to be a better chaser, and he's obviously in the right hands as well.
Yes, yeah, stays well, jumps so well. That's his main attribute, isn't it? Any others to note? I'll go back to you again, Deetsy. What caught your eye?
Yeah, I'll probably echo what James was saying about brewing up a storm. And I think it's worth noting that some of Ollie Murphy's runners are coming on for the run. The seeding seeming to need the first start. Same point could be applied to Itchy Feet the weekend before at Aintree. Because I think for three quarters of the race, it was a really nice comeback, and he just sort of emptied, didn't he? It can be a stiff finish. He is a stiff finish at Carlisle and in that ground as well. He probably just got tired. So I definitely wouldn't be giving up on him.
Before we look ahead to some of the international big races coming up, I just wanted to bring into it the performance of Abacadabras. He was beaten by Aspire Tower down Royal. A lot of people disappointed with Abacadabras, some not so much. Gordon Elliott, as much as he had a fabulous time at Down Royal, a few of his horses are blowing up a little bit and acting like they'll come on for the run. Were you disappointed, James, or do you think it was a fair enough? I was disappointed, I think.
A bit disappointed when be right at the top of a lot of people's lists, so you'd have expected him to come out and win that. But then at the same time, Sam Crow and Apples Jade were both beaten in that race when they were clearly the best horse in it. So I suspect there's an element of, as you say, Gordon Elliott's horses, particularly for that, you know, in that field, not quite being primed. I mean, the way he travelled into it, sort of, I think he jumped two out looking like he was taking over the lead. You'd think he was about to pull away, and then he very much seemed to blow up. But one thing I would mention is I saw the Elliott interview afterwards, and he's a little bit worried. He's got a quirk in him. I think he probably thought he should have won the Supreme. And he's slightly, I guess he's concerned about that here, because you remember in his bumper days behind Envoy Allen at Leopardstown, he managed to run through the rail on the inside. Yeah. So he's obviously just got that little, you know, concern in the back of his mind. But, you know, I think you could take it one of two ways, but I'd give him another chance. I wouldn't write him off just yet.
Maybe he's the new Archibald. The flat season, of course, is coming to a close this weekend. But before then, we have some excellent international racing to get stuck into, including the Melbourne Cup and then the Breeders' Cup going into the weekend. So stick with us.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back, everyone, to this final instalment. We've had a look back, and now we're going to have a look forward Tomorrow it is the Lexus Melbourne Cup, the excellent Australian handicap over the 2 miles, and so many British and Irish interests here. I'll just run through Tiger Moth. He's at the top of your market, or rather I'll let Paul Binfield run through the market.
Yes, Maddie, Tiger Moth, as you say, 11-2 favourite. Then Anthony Van Dyke and Surprise Baby both on 7, 15-2 Sir Dragonet, 9-1 Prince of Arran, and it's 10-1 the rest.
And you've had a little look at this race, Binners. I mean, who do you think's worth backing? Because Tiger Moth, he's been strong for an awfully long time. Obviously, Kerry McAvoy aboard, he's won his fair share of Melbourne Cups. And then you've got the Derby winner, Anthony Van Dyke, and even old Sir Dragonet. He won the Cox Plate last time, always the bridesmaid, but not so then.
Yeah, some familiar names you're bringing up there, Maddie. Sometimes I can't find Market Raisin, let alone Flemington. So I got onto Sean O'Sullivan at Paddy Power, one of our international traders, and he thinks that Anthony Van Dyke is the one for people to be in. He's top weight, but he's still fairly treated on his best form. He ran a really good trial on soft ground that was against him last time. He'll relish the return to the faster surface, and he gets the best of the draw. So there's quite a lot to like about the 7-1 Anthony Van Dyke.
Okay, fabulous. I'm going to be quite boring. I think Tiger Moth, I mean, I know he's got that wide draw out in 23, but I think there's so much more to come from this horse. And obviously, as a three-year-old colt, he gets in there off a really nice low weight of 8'4". James, I don't suppose you've had a look at the Melbourne Cup. We've got lots of familiar names, as I've already been through, but I think, you know, it's a really competitive race and a lot with chances.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of a shame about that draw for Tiger Moth, because everything seemed to be, you know, coming right for him, and then he's got that to overcome. But I obviously wouldn't rule it out. I've always been a fan of Sir Dragonet. I think he was just quite a difficult ride in certain circumstances when he was running over here, and it seemed like the Australian style of racing just suited for whatever reason. I thought he ran really quite well on the St. Ledger, despite ending up fourth. I thought he shaped probably second best, probably come to be second best. And I could just see it. You know, if he gets the right ride, and they have a proper pace to run at, I can see him, you know, proving all the doubters wrong, as Paul Nicholls might say.
Once again, what about Very Elegant then for Chris Waller Winks, his trainer, of course. I mean, she was beaten by a Dave, wasn't she, earlier on in the season last year? But you know, she's just been an absolute revelation this year. Interesting to see if she'll stay the 2 miles, and then. Gosh, we couldn't have a conversation about the Melbourne Cup without bringing old Prince of Arran into it, could we? Again, a really eye-catching run from him as a prep for this last time. What chance do we give him? Deetsy, what do you reckon? Can he finally do it?
Well, I'll be definitely among the people cheering him on. I think he's got a massive fan club both over here and Australia as well. He's been placed twice in the race. He just seems to thrive, doesn't he, for racing in Australia, for being down there and at this time of year, being out in the sunshine down there. Who wouldn't? He's came from quite a long way back to finish fourth in the Caulfield Cup. That was a real eye-catching performance, I thought, the way he saw out his race. So he's definitely got solid each-way claims. And I'd probably throw another one with a sort of similar profile there, Finch for Chris Waller.
Yeah.
They've got similar profiles. They're both having their third run in the Melbourne Cup, and they've both gone well in it before. So they'll be my two against the field. But obviously, yeah, I'll be cheering on Prince of Arran.
Finch, he's very reliable, isn't he? They both are. I think you've got a safe pair of horses there. It's a shame because I quite like that Ash run who got into the race in the last minute, but he's been drawn out wide in 24. So that's not ideal. But yeah, we'll be looking forward to that. Tomorrow morning at the Melbourne Cup. What about the Breeders' Cup? That commences on Friday. Again, I had a quick look at this earlier. Some people, they're not too keen on the Breeders' Cup, but James, I'm sure you're one of those people who think that's a load of rubbish. It's a great event and great to see so many British and Irish horses and indeed European horses making the trip over in these times, isn't it?
Yeah, so it seems like it's an amazing feat to get everything organised. And there's going to be a proper raiding party. So yeah, I look forward to watching all of it.
Any horses in particular you're looking forward to seeing?
Well, I'm looking forward to Friday in particular with the two-year-olds and the juvenile turf. has obviously got Battleground in there. He's probably going to be favourite. He's had a slightly odd season. You know, he won the Chesham, and he seems to have missed a lot of engagement since then. He obviously won the Vintage Stakes in good form, and there's the idea that he's Bydell's best juvenile. He's not done it on ratings yet. And there's a couple of other really nice in there, including New Mandate, whose form at Doncaster has worked out really well. Even his Royal Lodge win, Gear Up, was well beaten in that, and he came out and won a Group 1 at Saint-Cloud. So it's hard to put you off that one. And then there's the Dewhurst form with Devil Waller, who to an extent was holding it down a little bit because it sort of came from nowhere. But he had the benefit of the rail, and he's finished fourth. And you don't know whether that's real representation of his ability or whether just how the race played out and the biases involved. But the one I actually like is Cadillac. I've been a fan of his ever since his debut. I think a lot of people were really knocked out by it. And it's just since then, it's sort of proved that he doesn't want that soft ground. You know, he's beaten by McSwinney after his debut, but that's no disgrace in the end, is it, with him winning the Virtue and Futurity? And then in the Dewhurst, he just seemed to get a little bit bogged down and he didn't have a totally clear run. I think he's quite light on his feet, quite a good mover. I could see, if, as long as we get some decent ground at Keeneland, I think he might enjoy those bends. And he'd be the one I fancy most. You know, in between those two defeats, he beat Van Gogh quite comfortably, and he's another one who went on to win a Group 1 since. He's rated 115 with us. And I think he's got more in hand there, and I think the American style of racing could really suit him.
Yeah, I'm interested in that race as well. I mentioned on Look on Sunday that I quite like New Mandate. I think, as you mentioned, he's not the biggest horse. He's quite racy. He's got high cruising speed. I think that'll suit it will suit him around Keeneland for sure. And then if I can shoehorn another one in there, I think last year's winner Uni can run well in the Breeders' Cup Mile. So that'll be the bet for me. I think she's around 6-1. I think that's a pretty good price. Cameco at the top of that market. Deetsy, have you got anything else to look out for this week or indeed the season ahead?
Well, I've seen the entries are in for the Elite Hurdle on Saturday. It's going to be interesting. I think a lot of people are going to be keen to see Goshen again. Too flat, and people have been a little bit disappointed, but I think I'd forgive him and give him the benefit of the doubt. I know his first run back was at Haydock, and I was there that day, and it was a flat race, and I spoke to Gary Moore afterwards over the phone, and he was disappointed with the horse. He said that he probably undercooked him a little bit, and although he went to Goodwood and there wasn't a great deal of improvement, it was a fairly similar run. I'm sort of taking it on trust that getting back over hurdles, get him interested, and Gary Moore can obviously work miracles with horses, and I think he's definitely not one to sort of give up on over hurdles, and he still remains an exciting prospect for me.
Yeah, all of our hearts dropped, didn't it, at the final flight in that Triumph Hurdle. I don't think any of us will be forgetting that for a while, and fingers crossed Goshen can get back to winning ways in that Unibet Elite Hurdle on Saturday. Binners, let's give a final word to you then. What are you most looking forward to this week? Any winners for us?
Well, I'm looking forward to Goshen. Yeah, I don't think his flat performances are too... I wouldn't be worried about that. He got beaten last time, but he was on a much higher rating than he kicked off on the flat over last season, etc. He's gone up a hell of a lot in the weight, so hopefully he can make amends for Cheltenham. I'll give my friend Sean O'Sullivan another mention. He's got one in the Filly and Mare, Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint. She's called Bell's the One. He reckons there's three or more confirmed front runners in the race to be set up for a late closer, which is just what she is. And she could be best placed to pick up the pieces if they go in as hard in front as Sean expects. And she's 9-2. So there you go.
Superb. Thanks very much, Binners. And indeed, thanks, Sean, if you're listening, for all of your Breeders' Cup insight. That's all we've got time for on today's show. Isn't it brilliant though? I know we're all going into lockdown this week, but it's great that we've still got racing on to rely on and keep us going through these winter months as usual. Stick around on Friday as the team will be there to preview all of the weekend's action, including Goshen in that Elite Hurdle. We'll see you soon.
Paddy Power Games has over 250 of your favourites to play online, and we're going to attempt to name them all in this 10-second ad before the T's and C's kick in. There's Blackjack, 18+, bgambleaware.org.